And a special hour with a visit in studio from the great John Fedko, the Fedko Zone.
Thanks, Larry.
Who has a story to tell or two, and also somebody who stays very much in touch with what's going on. Even though you said you retired at 50 from TV?
I did.
That's
full-time.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's
well,
not
Larry,
fair.
I know. I could be on my hands and knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not thank God enough for the blessings he's given me. I'm just grateful to God.
Well, we appreciate you coming in. We got a lot to talk about. Right now, we want to talk to Bill Cream, who's the Deputy Director, the Department of Public Works, City of Pittsburgh. Bill, good morning.
Hi, Larry. Good morning. It's good to be with you.
It's been a challenging week. In fact, since January 1st, we had 21 days of measurable snow, and we only had one day off, and that was Wednesday this week, and even had a little overnight. Now, I don't have to tell you, you've taken a lot of heat in the city about response to snowfall. How do you respond?
Well, it's been incessant. We certainly have had our challenges. We were working 12-hour shifts, 6 to 6 and 6 to 6, and to fight the fight. But it just kept coming, you know, and I think finally Mother Nature has taken her heel off our neck, and we'll get a little breathing room and, address some equipment and stockpile some material.
We see pictures of material tweeted in storage centers. What kind of material is being put on the road?
Salt. Road salt.
So
these reports, whether it's some media platform or social media, that we have been spreading some other type of material that we have stockpiled for traction and traction only, because our temperatures have been challenging. We have stockpiled some sand for traction if needed, but right now we are spreading salt, and anyone who says differently it's misinformation.
All right, do you have enough to continue now for the rest of the winter?
Well, we continue to take delivery every day. Our vendor is on the road every day with triaxles to our different salt sheds, and we stockpile every day, Saturdays included. We did run into some holidays where we could not; they weren't working. We didn't take deliveries on Christmas or New Year's, obviously. So, that's 1,500 tons we didn't get. But we continue to take delivery of our magnesium-treated salt.
And, Bill, you've heard the criticism about the trucks themselves not being operable or sitting on the side of the road when it's snowing. How do you respond to those?
Well, I just respond to anyone who wants to drive down the street, with their camera in front of their face, and they're already driving in dangerous conditions. You know, put their camera in front of their face and take pictures of a truck that's on the side of the street. Maybe the guy's taking a break. Yeah, I don't know. We've rented some trucks. We've rented some trucks for the season, and they are up and running. There's a lot of photos floating around out there, Larry, that are just misinformation.
Well, that's the thing with social media. Now, a lot was made about perhaps some politicians getting some roads cleared. What's your reply to that?
Oh, I can't speak to that. I don't know. I don't know what politicians you mean. I have an idea where the mayor lives. I don't know his address. I don't know what politicians you're talking about.
Okay. I mean, I don't trust social media either, but you see some things on social media that, oh, look at this road that's getting cleared, and look at this road that's getting treatment, while my road's not.
One that did get a lot of attention was Negley Avenue, which is a steep hill that the...
South Negley, yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, the wooden horses were put up, and there was not any salting of that road. Is that true?
It was eventually addressed. The barricades were up there for public safety. Apparently some folks took it upon themselves to move them. They don't know any other way off of that part of Squirrel Hill, I guess. They moved the barricades and started down the hill, and obviously bad things happened.
All right. Well, I appreciate your willingness to come on, Bill. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, Larry. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bill Cream, the Deputy Director of Department of Public Works.
That's a thankless job.
Yeah.
In a winter like this, that's a really tough job.
Yeah. You're not going to get anyone giving you the high sign when you drive past the trucks.
I mean, I live in North Park, and on Monday, it was really, really bad.
Yeah, driving in that morning, John.
It was really bad.
It was as bad as I've encountered in memory.
Yeah. Well, there's a big park, a big hill that goes down into North Park, for those familiar with that, if you're coming from Pine Ridgeland High School. Right. That's a really steep hill where there's a lot of deer that cross that hill. And if that's not treated, that is a really dangerous hill. So, but listen, it was a holiday. It was Martin Luther King, right? And we've been dealing, Larry, I mean, you and I have lived here forever. I've lived here since 87. You've lived here forever. This has been one of the most brutal winters. I mean, it seems like it's snowing every day. Now, I remember the winters in the, you know, the 70s, okay?
You're not wrong. It's snowed.
Been bad.
A measurable amount of snow every day for 21 straight days starting on New Year's.
Yeah, it feels like it.
So, and we got a little more overnight. We're going to get just some flurries. I'm not anticipating any accumulations over the weekend, but until maybe Tuesday. So, yeah, that is a thankless job, but they put the heat on when people's roads aren't clear.
Yeah,
they want to know why.
And listen, I mean, I live right on the border of Hampton Township and McCandless, and they both do a fabulous job. I mean, they do a fabulous job, those guys.
So they clean because they know it's your road.
They have. Uh-huh.
I see how that works. All right. Coming up, John Fedko was a mail carrier. Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with John Fedko in studio visiting. And you actually are part of our team technically still. You work with our high school football coverage last season. Did a great job.
Thank you.
Fedko Zone was, you know, is one of those iconic things. I've put it up there with like Chiller Theater, things that people in Pittsburgh remember. But we were talking yesterday, and you have such an amazing history. And one of the things you said you did that you loved was being a mail
carrier.
Not in the vehicles,
right.
Walking 12 miles a day.
Not that there's anything wrong with the guys in the vehicles. Those guys do a great job. I always wanted to be a post office employee and
really?
specifically wanted to carry mail. I've just really admired those people, and I am so glad I did it, and I am so grateful to everyone that made that experience phenomenal. I got to work at one of the great post offices in the country. It's got to be New Kensington. Just a spectacular, spectacular outfit. I say that with all sincerity. I hope one of them's listening, because I just love everyone involved there. They couldn't have been nicer. It was a great experience, Larry. I say this with all humility. It doesn't take any talent to do what I did, which was being a sportscaster. I would not call that work, Larry. I never worked a day in my life as a sportscaster. Give me a break. I got to watch Steeler games and get paid for it. I wanted to do something that really had meaning to it. And so I talked to my wife about this, and I said, you know, I want to be a postal carrier. I just want to try it. And I was so impressed and had such great admiration for people that work in the post office, specifically the carriers. And from the school, which is, let me just start by saying this. It is an incredible career. I say that with all sincerity. It is a tremendous career. I know that they advertise to work for them. It's a career that's fulfilling athletically, physically, mentally. It's fun. You work with great people. It is a really tremendous career. So anybody out there that's thinking about being a U.S. Postal Service carrier, it is incredibly fun. It was the most fun I've ever had at a job, Larry.
When did you do this again?
This was about 3 years ago.
So okay. This is, I want people to know, this wasn't before you got into television and broadcasting. This was just
3 years ago. I wanted to try it, and it was so fulfilling.
What did your wife say?
Well, my wife was all for it. And first of all, let's start with the school. The people that you have to go to school, you have to go for a 2-week class, and the people that do that are so good. They're so good at doing it. And there's so many things you don't realize that Postal Service carriers have to be good at. And one of them that's very difficult to do, Larry, is sorting the mail. These guys and women, and there are some incredible athletic women that carry mail, especially at New Kensington. You guys at New Kensington that work in the office, you know what I'm talking about. They're incredible athletes. I'm talking professional-type athletics. To be able to walk and carry my mail for up to 12 to 14 miles in hilly terrain in all weather. That's saying something. And these people do it every day in the worst of conditions. And it's really incredible, Larry, to be around people like that.
How did you experience the dog thing?
You got to love dogs. And they go over that right away when you go to the school. It's not a job for you if you're afraid of dogs. Now, if you're driving a truck, you don't have to worry about dogs. But if you're carrying mail in New Kensington, you're going to run into dogs. And you just can't be afraid of them. And I love dogs. I have two dogs. I love dogs. So dogs do not... you have to use common sense, okay? It's not the dog's fault if you're bitten. You got to use common sense. And these postal carriers have common sense. They're smart people. They know how to deal with dogs. Again, I want to start with just what it takes to be a postal carrier. You walk in the morning, Larry, you're there at like 7 a.m. and you're sorting mail, and you wouldn't believe how fast these guys do it. I mean, it's to watch them to throw the mail in the slots without even looking. These guys are athletes. And the guys that and girls that were working at the New Kensington post office, they were athletes. These guys were people I covered in Skylights. They were high school football stars. They were wrestling stars. They were female athletic stars. They were athletes, Larry. These guys, to be around them, it was very much like being in a athletic locker room.
What did they say when they realized
they thought
you were
I was
John
a joke.
Vedko?
Well, first of all, I'm an old guy coming in there that had never done this before, and I got treated like I should have been. Like, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, we're athletes. We're good at this. Who are you? And I expected that, and I deserve to be treated like that. It's a tough job, Larry, that requires a lot of work. And the thing is, if you're not good at it, the other guys have to pick you up. If you don't get your route done on time, you know you're carrying a GPS. They know where you are at all time, okay? They're timing you.
A modern twist.
Right. They're timing you. So if you don't get your route done, guess who's showing up to finish your route? These guys that have been there for 25 years that are trying to get home to their family. So it's a team thing, and you don't want to let them down. You don't want them having to show up. And there were these incredibly athletic women there that would show up, and they would just like dust. They would do what took me 2 hours. They'd do it in 15 minutes because they're athletes. U.S. Postal Service carriers are tremendous athletes. They are tremendous athletes.
John Fedko, former mail carrier, from your lips to God's ears. Speaking of work, there's new training for people who all of us will at some point deal with and are now. Artificial intelligence. This is utilizing AI training for workers. We're going to talk to a gentleman named Mark Burnett coming up next about that. Speaking of jobs, I can't believe you just did this a few years ago.
Well, again, that's something that artificial intelligence will never be able to do, I don't think.
No.
You're a postal carrier.
You
got to physically put it in the box.
That's one of those jobs. You got to be there.
It's a great job, Larry.
Marty Griffin, 10 until 2 in Oakmont. Yes, that's fair
My
warning.
My neighbor Big Ed will be there.
Big Ed?
Big Ed loves it. My neighbor literally brings me something from Oakmont Bakery every week.
Well, Big Ed, go say hi to Marty.
There you go.
The Sorreo family. Larry Richard with, of all people, John Fedko. And in studio, nonetheless. And John, we ran a promo that you were going to be on. I got a lot of texts. John Fedko, what's he coming on for?
That's a good question.
Well, people have, you were put into a cap. They think of you as a sports guy on TV.
I was a sports guy for 30 years on TV, so that's...
But
those that remember that was a long time ago.
You're an all-around... You're tuned into what's going on.
Oh, I love this city. Yeah, I'll never leave here. I absolutely love this city and everything to do with it. It's the greatest place in the world to live.
It is a great place.
It's the greatest place in the world to live.
And you have to embrace change.
Yeah, some
industry,
of it.
especially in this town, we kick and scream at every little change. But this whole conversation about artificial intelligence, how do you handle it? How do you deal with it?
Really concerned about artificial intelligence.
How do you train for it?
Yeah.
Joining us from the Business Journals is Mark Burnett, who is deeply involved in artificial intelligence. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, first, I want to also ask you up front, you deal a lot with the DEI, Gen Z, and we know that this is a subject that's very sensitive right now since Donald Trump had an executive order to get rid of all DEI-related people, personnel in the federal government. What's the reaction been in your world to this?
Yeah, I think it depends on which level you at. I think a lot of the corporate companies, we've seen them put out some press releases about how they're backing off of their DEI efforts. But I think this is an opportunity for, you know, those small, medium-sized businesses to really differentiate themselves and show that they're going to stand up for whatever it is, you know, that they believe is right when it relates as it relates to DEI and some of these other issues. I think this work has been going on for decades. Maybe it's under a different name, you know, but it's not going to completely go away. There's always going to be people fighting for, you know, just equal rights, more diversity in the workplace, more equity and more inclusion. So even if the name changes or, you know, you don't hear about it as much publicly, I just don't think it will ever go away, even as we have, you know, different administrations come in, because I think, especially with the younger generations and other people, coming into the workforce, people just want more transparency and they want to see more diverse faces. They want more equity when it comes to opportunities and they want to feel included. They want to bring their full selves to work.
And I would imagine that, and we hear from some companies that are going to retract, not fully. Some are going to maintain what they already have going with DEI. So we'll see as this rolls forward. But as it stands today, those workers were put on in the federal government, still paid leave for the moment until they figure out how to unravel all this. Is that correct?
Yeah, those are the reports that I've been seeing. You know, it's still very early to tell what the actual fallout's going to be. You know, so it's something that we'll be monitoring pretty closely here in the next couple of weeks and months, and as this administration continues to settle in and make changes.
All right, you're also talking about how do you train people for the coming artificial intelligence onslaught that's already underway?
Yeah, I think, you know, AI has people kind of on edge. You know, I think organizations are always looking for ways to, you know, let's be honest, cut corners and save a buck. And if that means, you know, automating some of these things that would go to younger workers or maybe even sometimes older workers to keep them active in the workforce, you know, I think we're seeing organizations lean into that, you know, investing into these AI tools that can cut down on a lot of that, you know, whether they be taking notes at a meeting or, you know, scheduling different things like that, kind of those upfront things. And I think some people are worried, as we're seeing with the data. You know, people don't want to be pushed out. They don't want to feel obsolete. They want to feel like they're able to grow in their careers and not feel like they're being stunted or just kind of replaced. I mean, we got a long way to go with a lot of this stuff, and I think a lot of people are still kind of figuring it out. But at the same time, we're hearing so much about it that it's just got people on edge because there is that great unknown when it comes to AI.
And I think people are rightfully on edge. Us old people like Larry and I remember the movie 2001 where the computer HAL takes over and gets out of control. And that's a legitimate concern for people that, okay, AI is a machine. And do we trust this machine to do a good job? You know, a lot of times you can judge a person through their character, but a machine, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And if machines gets out of control, who's in charge of the machine?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. And I think we've talked to some HR managers who understand that AI can have biases. And I've also talked to some other experts who say that that's where the importance of the human can never be replaced. You have to have somebody to properly train these systems that are properly you know, set up these algorithms so that the biases don't spill over into the hiring practices or how they treat people in the workplace. And you also want to make sure that you're getting the best results. You don't want to bring in, like you said, something that's going to take over and be kind of unruly. I think people are trying to figure it out and trying to move slowly with this, but it's one of those things, the technology moves fast, you know, and you don't want to get left behind. And I think it's going to be kind of fascinating how this stuff gets deployed this year and over the next 5 years or so.
Yeah, I think people, you know, the one constant in life is change. You got to find a way to embrace it somehow. And and go with the flow to some degree. We'll see where it takes us. Mark, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you guys as well. Thank you.
Mark Burnett with Business Journals on the Big K Morning Show. Coming up, we'll want to escape to someplace warm? We're going to tell you all the options. The Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA is this weekend, starting today at the David Lawrence Convention Center. We'll check in with AAA's Marita Williams right after the news at the top of the hour with Paul Rasmussen. Larry Richard with John Fedko. John, you have an incredibly talented family.
Well, thank you.
You do. I mean, your baseball sons are extraordinary. Did they get that from you?
I've worked hard. They did not get that from me. They definitely got that from my wife's side of the family. My wife's father, Don Simonetti.
Right.
Former chief of police at West Deer. Was a baseball player. So they definitely got the any athleticism they got from the other side of the family.
You're in tune with the baseball world.
Yes,
very much. I wanted to get your take on this Paul Skeens rookie card, the only one he signed, the Topps 11-year-old in Los Angeles, ended up getting it this week. And the Pirates had offered a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's great that an 11-year-old pulled that card. Okay, because, you know, we grew up in the era where baseball cards were that it was like people on their computers now, okay? Every kid collected baseball cards when we were
I had mine.
Every single one. It was a major part of growing up. So fortunately, my blessed mother, who's still alive at the age of 92, didn't throw anything out. And my dad collected baseball cards, and I collected baseball cards, and I still have them, and they are in incredible shape now.
And you have a baseball card
that I want to show you.
Your son, though.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that? That
was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Because as soon as it came out, I jumped on eBay, and the price immediately skyrocketed just because of me, because I was trying to get as many as I can. But he did get a Bowman baseball card. Bowman is the brand. It was a division of Topps that comes out with your first card, you know, your Bowman card. So I have that with me, Larry. I'll actually show you.
Now, what's the other card?
Here it is. Here he is, Kyler Fedko. And this is he's in the Twins uniform there. Now, right now, he ended last season in Double A, okay, Wichita. Beautiful city, by the way. Really loved seeing games in Wichita.
Cool.
But, you know, hopefully he gets to Triple A at least this year coming out of camp. That's what I'm telling him. Your goal is to, you know, start at St. Paul, which is where the Twins Triple A facility is. But Double A's Wichita, which is an incredible town. The Twins facilities are insane. Fort Myers for the, you know, for Single A, and then he went to Cedar Rapids where Mike Trout played. I mean, the history behind Cedar Rapids is really incredible, and now he's in Wichita.
So what's that card you're hiding over there?
This is it right here. Here.
No, that's your son's card,
I got a card here I want to show you. So
that's the other one.
This is a card, one of 10. This came out in 2013, and I really cherish this baseball card. I think it's one of the greatest baseball cards I've ever seen. This is a card, on-card autograph, one baseball card, signed by Miguel Cabrera, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Buster Posey.
Oh, wow.
They only made 10 of them. This is number one of 10. All four of these Hall of Famers, I mean, Cabrera and Posey are absolutely Hall of Famers, and Harper and Trout, yeah, they're getting for the Hall of Fame, okay? So I got four Hall of Famers here, unless Trout and no question on McCrary and Posey. So I got four Hall of Famers. You know, again, Trout and Harper are going to make it on one card.
And it's one of ten.
It's number one of 10. This is a really incredible.
And you can see it on our live stream video presented by.
Here's the back of it. It was like a booklet card. It came in Topps 5-star in 2013.
Metropolitan Window Company. Look at that. And you stick around for a little longer, you got to go.
Of course, no. Right. I can stick as long as you. I'll stick
You're
around
You're a traveler.
Midnight.
We're going to talk about this travel showcase coming up.